Your career has wound down. The kids have moved, and your schedule's clear for the next 30 years. Now what? My guest today is Helen Wilkes, author of The Aging of Aquarius, Igniting Passion and Purpose as an Elder. In your youth, you cared about people and planet Earth and had grand visions of changing the world, but at some point, day-to-day life got in the way. Still, that old you remains alive. Now, with the rest of your life ahead, you can be the change and make this next stage of your life the most powerful yet. So says Helen. Welcome to the show, Helen.
Thank you so much.
You are an octogenarian who survived a lifetime of hardships, ranging from fleeing Nazi Germany as a child to navigating personal and professional obstacles to create, obviously, a very rewarding life. Now this, what prompted you to share your wisdom on so-called retirement?
I think I was inspired by the people I saw around me and stunned by how different retirement was from anything that I had been led to believe. When I look back at older people in my youth, what I'm seeing around me, this is a whole new life. And these are wonderful, energetic people with so much to offer. And yet the advertising is all in the direction of, oh, you've done your bit. Sit back and do nothing for the next 30 years? That's nonsense.
And that doesn't sound like fun at all.
No, doesn't sound like fun. You can't sit and do nothing for year upon year upon year. In fact, doing nothing, I have just read an article that said that people would rather give themselves an electric shock than wait more than 15 minutes in an empty room with nothing to do.
Wow.
We are constantly searching for something to take us away from our inner thoughts or from something to do.
Yeah.
And I think when we do something that we think is of value to the rest of the world, then we feel so much better about ourselves.
Indeed. And you talk early on in your book about gravestones that read a person's occupation, that
right.
was the definition of their life. But
right.
as we're living longer, that's just not the case.
Absolutely not. And we are so much more than the profession that we had. We identify with that profession. I was a doctor, a lawyer, a merchant chief, whatever. but we are all more than the profession that we chose when we were in our teens or 20s.
Absolutely. And I also found it interesting that you sort of struggled with the label, I guess I could say, or the term elder, to try and talk about the people you're talking about, because the word senior sounds old.
Well, we have a negative connotation around everything that's old. When something gets old, we throw it away, we pitch it out. And in our society, we really don't value things that are old. I walked into a drugstore the other day, and everywhere there were huge posters about anti-aging, buy this cream, buy that cream. What's wrong with a face that is wrinkled?
Yeah, I agree. Mine's getting there too, so I'd like to know the same thing.
So I'm wearing my gray hair, as if it were a crown, and saying, so, should I dye it and pretend that I'm still 30?
Right. And what's interesting is I just went to a symposium on the Blue Zones. Have you heard of the Blue Zones?
No, what is that?
Well, it is a man named Dan Buettner has gone to these different areas in the world where people are living. They are centenarians.
Ah, yes, I have heard of that.
And,
yes, and it's interesting, the things that he's finding.
Well, and what speaks to that is the fact that the elders in community are more revered that they're the ones that give direction.
And yes, we don't have that in our society, and I was hesitant to even use the word elder, because certainly up here in Canada, the elders tend to be a term used by Indigenous people who do revere their elders.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in white society, we tend to think of old people as over the hill. You know, there are a million and one jokes about aging.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's for sure. We are talking with Helen Wilkes. She is the author of The Aging of Aquarius, Igniting Passion and Purpose as an Elder. And I have to ask, how do we reach back and find those lost passions? And why is that so important?
Well, it's going to be difficult for me to condense that into a short radio conversation, because I've got a whole book on it.
Yes.
And every chapter, I end it with some concrete suggestions for ways in which people can take action. But the starting point always has to be go within. Take time to do nothing, but sit perhaps with a pencil and paper and go back inside yourself and say, what really matters to me? What inspired me when I was 20? How did I want to change the world when I was 20? How do I want to change the world now? What is my legacy going to be? Am I going to work for the environment? Am I going to work with impoverished people? Am I going to work with people who are challenged in some other way? Am I going to steer myself towards helping people who are physically ill, or what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm. And you know what's fascinating is everything that you are talking about what you're going to do, has so much to do with giving back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm convinced that those of us who get to live in North America have had the world on a silver platter. No matter what our struggles, we can't begin to know what it is to have horrible things happen to us, as happens around us in so many countries of the world. So as a start, the very fact that we have been here at the time that we have been here, that in itself is a gift that we can never repay. But I think we all have to give back to the world, at least in the measure that we received, in order to feel good about ourselves.
And you know, it's interesting too, because in your book, which, by the way, folks, get this book, The Aging of Aquarius, Igniting Passion and Purpose as an Elder. And as Helen said, it has practical tips in there and help of how to go about doing this. But one of the things that you talk about is travel. Recommending travel, and that is so true, to get outside of our own little tiny spaces and see the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely, if it is all possible. And to travel, I encourage people to try to travel in ways where they engage with people from another country.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to do what I call the big ship cruises,
right,
where you hardly ever encounter another person from the countries that you are passing through, literally. I have learned so much from being in other countries and seeing how other people go about things and what their values are. I was on a call-in show recently, and people were talking about their loneliness. And I was thinking, in North American society, we pretend that we don't even see the person we're passing on the street. And I can remember being walking by myself in New Zealand once, and somebody said to me, "Hey, don't you even say good morning to people you pass?"
Wow. And
I thought, yeah. I walked into a restaurant, and I saw everybody reading the paper, sitting by themselves in their own little cubbyhole cubicle. There were empty tables everywhere, but there were also tables, many tables, with one person sitting there reading the paper. And I thought, why don't you go over to that person who's reading the paper and say, so what do you think about today's headlines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's
we're all so isolated in many, many ways.
Indeed we are. We are. And I had some friends from New Zealand actually come over here, and I wasn't able to travel to see them, but they were on a 10-day thing, and they were with a whole big group of people. And I was Facebook messaging her and saying, you know, get out. Don't go to those restaurants. Go find some little place that just some little diner somewhere, and they had an absolute
and engage
blast.
With real people.
They wound up actually getting a tour of a state house in Nevada by the governor because they got outside of themselves and outside of that, and were actually peeping around and walking up and asking questions and talking, and they got in and got a really cool tour.
Yeah, so, I really encourage people not to be afraid to venture forth.
Yeah,
and not to live in fear of other people.
And I think that's what gets to that social, that isolation that so many have. What would you say to someone who does sit inside their home, they may be alone, what would be maybe the first thing to help them get past that part?
Well, I would encourage them to open the door and go outside. If they can walk, unless they are so physically disabled that they cannot walk at all, but if they can walk, just being out on the street. Sometimes I'll be, you know, three doors away from here, and I'll see somebody walking their dog over to the park, and I'll say, oh, what a cute dog. What breed is he? Or some, you know, noncommittal remark. And one thing leads to another, and you have a brief conversation.
Right. Exactly.
I pass people on the street, and I say to some guy, hey, that's a really sharp hat you're wearing. Is that plaid your Scottish heritage or what? And next thing I know, I've got a conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm getting to meet people that I didn't know. Of course, this isn't the same as having friends that you've had for a lifetime, but it's different from being all by yourself and regurgitating your own thoughts over and over and over, what I call bathing yourself by pouring your own dirty bathwater over your head again and again and again. Life has to move forward, and just take one small step forward, and you will find there are all kinds of people out there happy to talk to you, happy to tell you about their life experiences, and to engage in conversation with you.
Oh, my goodness. I just am enjoying this conversation. Helen Wilkes, the author of The Aging of Aquarius, and it's all about igniting passion and purpose. And this is for elder, but, you know, those of us that aren't retirement age can still get a lot out of this book for ourselves. Just to...
I hope so. And you know, this social isolation, I've read a fair bit about it now, and young people are suffering worse than older people. And I often go by a coffee shop and I'll see four people gathered around the table, four young people, each of them on their cell phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm saying, but
I know.
Why aren't you engaging with one another? Why aren't you interacting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
so
is.
It's, you know, technology is also doing wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that I can email friends in other parts of the world and have daily conversations with them, regardless of time changes and everything else.
Right. Yeah. So there's a balance. And
yeah,
I guess that's...
It doesn't replace one-on-one face-to-face contact.
Exactly. Well, Helen, we are running out of time. Are there any final thoughts you would like to pass on?
Well, I would say to elders and to people of every age, believe in yourself and don't wait for the world to come to your doorstep. Reach out in whatever way you can.
Wise words. Thank you so much for your time, Helen. And maybe, do you think there might be another book in you?
I wouldn't be the least surprised, because I have so enjoyed writing this one and the places that it's leading me. Like, I would never have had a chance to speak to you, Terry, if I hadn't written this book.
And I am so delighted we have.
Thank you.
Thank you, Helen.